Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy White, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. Watching Ben Johnson's speech. I watched it a couple times because I wanted to know what he was saying. Did you see the whole the
no,
chant he did? Is pretty
I did
good.
Not.
Good, better, best. Good, better, best. Never let it rest. Never let it rest. If your good gets better, then your better gets best. Bears on three. 1, 2, 3. Bears. Pretty cool. Cool moment for them. You know, their first win with Ben Johnson in the home game. Big window. Sal Capaccio joins us on the Western Hotline. Sal, I don't know if you caught that game or what game you might have caught over the course of the weekend, if it's Chiefs and Giants or Chargers and Broncos, but I always like a good locker room speech. You know, those are great. I like that we get to see those in Ben Johnson's. It gives you a window, and maybe you're not sure the kind of energy a coach carries, and you know, get him in a moment like that, it's pretty cool.
It is, yeah. Good morning, guys. I kind of spent yesterday watching Red Zone on one television, and then my computer was open, and I think the computer had Red Zone on, and then I was kind of flipping between games on the other TV. Bucks and Jets were on, and of course Steelers, Patriots. I was really dialed into both those games.
Yeah.
And what was happening, and obviously a really close game in both of those. Interesting, and you know, speaking of that, you know, watching Baker Mayfield, basically his talking about Steve Wilkes was the guy that cut him,
yeah,
and now he's the DC for Carol for the Jets, and you know, that was personal for him. The Jets, Aaron Glenn, you know, and talking about, you know, his team at the end of the game, and you know, he's trying to still send the right message as much as possible. A lot of these things. What caught my eye this weekend? A couple of things. You know, I was just looking at some stats. I know they haven't played world beaters, but well, I shouldn't say that. I was looking at it. The Colts have scored more points than the Bills now.
Yeah, they are the number one point differential team in the NFL, the Colts.
Yeah, they scored 33 against Miami. Bills scored 31. They scored 29 against a good Denver Broncos defense. They scored 41 against the Titans. That's a team that's becoming a bit interesting, but look at their schedule. It gets a little tougher coming up. They have the Rams next week. And yeah, the Chiefs, I mean, I know they need to kind of survive till they get some receivers back. That's what people are talking about with their offense, but it just looks disjointed. It really does. And like their biggest play is just heaving the ball downfield to Tyquan Thornton
and hoping for
otherwise
a penalty.
They can't do much. And it's interesting kind of watching them. You know, I do wonder and think about Brian Daboll's situation in New York right now. Obviously, I mean, not only are they 0-3, they can't seem to get, they're very inconsistent throwing the football with Russell Wilson, and Their schedule's tough, guys. They get the Chargers, then the Saints, then the Eagles, Broncos, Eagles. I mean, woo.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know when it's Jackson Dart time there. The Chiefs, mm-hmm. We also saw, second time we've seen this now, and this time it flipped around. Travis Kelce didn't bump Andy Reid. Andy Reid bumped Travis Kelce.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
So I guess that does give a little context to that thing from the Super Bowl a couple of years ago where they have a relationship where they are allowed to physically
bump each other.
Yeah. You know, like it's inbounds for those two.
Yeah, and I read something today, going back to the Giants real quick, can't remember who tweeted it, said, you know, Brian Daboll shouldn't be worried about his job because of the Giants. Maybe he should be worried about his job because how good Daniel Jones looks, right? I mean, like, it's kind of interesting that he goes there and looks that good. But you're right about that with the Chiefs as well. And it just doesn't look right now with Kansas City. They were much better after the half, but at halftime I looked at the stats. I tweeted something out last night because I said, this is crazy. I can't believe how poorly their offense is playing. At halftime last night, the Chiefs were averaging 3.57 yards of offensive play.
Yeah.
I went and looked. They had not been that low in a game other than the game they rested their starters against the Broncos last year since 2014. That's how poorly their offense was playing last night.
Yeah. They get the win. They find a way. So they are now 1-2. And tonight we watch the Ravens, who, if they lose to the Lions, they could go to 1-2. Of course, Bills fans would remember the Ravens are quite good at home on Sunday or Monday night football. Their home record in primetime games, 21-3 or something in the last 24 games. So, but if they lose, Sal, you know, it's Bills, Chargers, Colts atop the AFC, and then I don't even know who you'd consider next. The Ravens might still be the best team or up there in the top three, but to be 1-2 would be a big blow for them. So we'll keep an eye on that.
I have a question I thought about today. This morning, and I was going to bring it up in the extra point show too. I'm watching the Chargers. I'm like, yeah, they look pretty good, right? But they also, you know, don't look like they're insane, like unbeatable or anything. They have a very legitimate chance to win the AFC West the way that they're playing. Would you take it though? Would you take the Chargers winning the West if it meant if it meant they would have to get the one seed and then the Chiefs would be the number seven coming to Buffalo?
And the Bills are the two over the seven. I guess I don't. Why would I take it?
Yeah.
What am I afraid of?
Like, I guess because you would go to Kansas or go to LA. How about this one? I'll rephrase it because that you probably wouldn't take that. You take them winning the West. The Bills get the one seed, but the Chiefs still get the seven. And that means if the Chiefs win, they're coming to Buffalo in the second round.
Sure, take it because I think the Chiefs are.
Yeah, I mean,
they're about to expire.
That would go right. Like, part of Sal, why I wanted them to get the one seed so bad is so they don't have to play both Kansas City and Baltimore. And you probably are inviting that scenario back in. I guess it also comes down to how confident you would be that the Chiefs would go on the road and beat the Chargers. And even though the Chargers won in Brazil. I mean, we've seen that movie a lot. It wouldn't be hard to see the Chargers puking on themselves and the Chiefs winning with some fluky way at the end of the game.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, hey, right now, I mean, the Colts are the team that would hold the Ravens back from getting in the top four, right, if that were to happen. So, or top three, I should say. So maybe the North Division winner gets four. Anyway, a lot of talk for down the road, but I don't want to waste that this morning. But it's just something I thought about this morning with how the AFC West is shaking out.
Well, Sal, the Bills, of course, are going to have another week of dealing with expectation, I suppose. It's like the best storyline you could get for Bills Saints in terms of how the Bills approach it. Trap game in finger quotes, or you know, not taking an opponent too lightly. They'll be 16.5-point favorites as of today, and that's an even bigger spread than the Miami game, which was the biggest spread of the year in the league. So they'll of course be expected to win. So let's get that in on a Monday for anybody saying, how does Sean McDermott make sure? How do the leaders of that team make sure that they don't take an opponent lightly?
Well, I just don't think it's really ever really an issue with the Bills, to be honest with you. There have been games over the years, Jacksonville, 21 maybe, 22, whatever year that was. There was a stinker that they laid out in Jacksonville. It can happen, right? But generally, I just think that the theme of the Bills in this era has been consistency. They don't do that. When they have teams that they're supposed to beat, they usually beat them pretty badly. Now, I know that the Dolphins, that it was a 12 and whatever half-point spread, they still won by 10. It's a division game. I mean, the score still was a 10-point, double-digit victory. I mean, you go back to last year, guys. You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Tennessee Titans, 47-10, 34-10, right? I mean, like, these are games they're supposed to put away. And so I never worry about that with the Bills, to be honest with you. I never think, the Bills, you know, they should win this game by 20 and they're going to lose. Yeah, I thought the spread last week was a little high for a division game. I don't think that's the same situation. But generally, I don't think about this team having letdowns because of trap games. They are consistent in their approach, always. And they always have been consistent in their approach. What I find a bit frustrating, to be honest with you, and you guys know this, is I just think the expectations are unrealistic from a lot of the fan base, to be honest with you. Like, this week, if you don't win by 30, it's like some sort of failure. If you don't score 40 points, it's some sort of failure. Like, it is still the NFL, and I know that the Saints got completely demolished by the Seahawks. That's fine, and that's right. And the Bills should take care of business this week. But, man, last week, after winning 31-21 over the Miami Dolphins, just still some of the, to me, overreaction of how they didn't play perfectly and didn't have 50 points and didn't get Mike McDaniel fired. I just think we're just getting really ahead of ourselves with how you really expect and think the NFL should be played and how it goes for every team around this league.
I do think that Bills fans are not alone here. I mentioned to Joe, I was watching the CBS post-game show off of Rams-Eagles, and Nate Burleson was saying the same things about the Eagles, basically. Like,
yeah,
they just won the Super Bowl, and their offense doesn't look like it's totally firing, or they're not impressing their own fans enough. And it felt like he was talking to us as well, Sal. And I think for Bills fans, that's just a function of they can't convince you they're going to win the Super Bowl in September. It's hard to do. So that's you want to see them play well enough to make you feel good about it. And, you know, we also want to see Josh Allen put up 50 every week and win AFC Offensive Player of the Week. So I think it's part of it. If there is concern amongst Bills fans, it might be that the defense has had, you know, its share of issues so far. They were great against the Jets, which, you know, take that for what it is. But against Miami, third down defense kind of crept back in. Inability to get to the passer crept back in. Tua took a long time to throw the ball, and they were not able to get to him that much. So I feel like, you know, you're seeing these small departments of the defense that are problems rearing their head. And that's what leads Bills fans to wonder, like, all right, if you can't stop Tua, what are you going to look like when you play Herbert or the Chargers or the Ravens again? Because, you know, this defense has let them down a couple of years in a row, and they're looking for it to start to trend in the right direction.
Yeah, I think third down defense was the biggest issue on that side of the ball on Thursday night. Otherwise, I thought they played pretty well. I mean, the Dolphins, 4.7 yards a play is not good. Like, the Bills pretty much held them in check. They were very good on first and second down most of the night. They were not good on third down. 10 of 15 is not a good percentage. Sean McDermott pointed out, I thought it was very interesting after the game, guys, and again on Friday, mentioned getting them in 15 third downs is a good thing, right? Like, that's a lot of third downs you're forcing. That means you're playing very good defense on first and second, but they have to be better on third down, and they weren't. And that's something that was an issue last year. Understood. If anybody is concerned about that, they should be. I want to give the Dolphins some credit here because I thought the Dolphins did a nice job of getting Tua out in space a little bit where, and a couple times he was flushed out, but they did move him a little bit. And that's not something that's normally a strength of his. And I thought they did a good job. And when you play a quarterback or a team that goes against a tendency, that can, you know, that could be bad for them, or it could really help them. And I thought on third down, it would help them a little bit. So no doubt about it. I mean, those are issues and areas. And, you know, you look at it and say, why is that? Well, number one, sure, they didn't finish him. The pass rush had to be better. They did force him out of the pocket a few times. Again, they didn't finish the play. That's the issue. They didn't finish. And that's been the issue in playoff games where they didn't finish, and why they went out and signed Von Miller years ago, why they went out and signed Joey Bosa. You got to finish the sack. Joey Bosa was very close, but he didn't get it there and he didn't finish. And then giving a lot of room on the outside to Waddle and Hill, and especially Waddle and Tre'Davious White. And I've seen a lot of criticism of Tre'Davious White, and it's fair that he definitely gave up some big plays. I also think he was basically probably he's probably thinking, or maybe even Bobby Babich, well, I'm not giving up a touchdown, though. I don't want to give up cheapie, right? So now, and when you do that, you're giving a fast guy a little bit more cushion and room. Now you're making it a bit easier on the offense. So these are things that they're going to have to look at and think about. And it's got to start this week against the Saints. And again, you get a team coming in here, don't give them any life. Go out there and do what you're supposed to do and shut them down on defense, and people would feel a little bit better. Not a lot, because it's not some world-beating opponent, and they want to see it on the field against those types of teams. But the Bills can only play who's on their schedule and get ready for that game.
Are you seeing, Sal, what they maybe want to be on third down defense? It looked to me like they were more aggressive on some of those downs, and maybe it was a little more of a challenge for Trey White and even Ben. There was the one Tyreek Hill conversion on a third down. Then maybe they're putting their corners on a little bit more of an island in the name of going after that quarterback and not giving him time back there.
Yeah, that's a good question, Joe. I think so. I think the Bills are blitzing at a higher rate. I have to look now and I can go.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Go over and look at it, what their blitz rate is. But I think the Bills are blitzing at a higher rate than we have normally seen. Here we go. Right now, I have the Bills.
Second in the
league. According to Pro Football Reference, at second in the league. By the way, holy cow, what a gap.
Yeah.
Miami, first in the league at 41%. The Bills next at 29%.
Wow.
Percentage of blitzes. Kansas City is third at 27. So, yeah, I do think so because that's been a kind of a departure. You know, they have the personnel up front that they have, and they're using them. And you want to see, you know, Joey Bosa was great the first 2 weeks. He wasn't bad in this game. He didn't finish, like I said. Greg Rousseau was better than I thought when I went back and watched the game. Like, after the game, a lot of people said to me, arrow down, Sal. Like, Greg Rousseau was invisible. Didn't show up in the stat sheet. He actually played a little bit better than I thought. One thing I do think is really important here, and you can't do anything about it now, and injuries happen and all these other things happen, suspensions. I think Michael Hoyt is a big plan for this team. I really do. I think Michael Hoyt is going to be someone they're going to really employ on third down and others passing situations that allows people. You guys know like the way a basketball team works, right? Somebody's playing point guard because the normal point guard's off, so you move the shooting guard there, right? Like this right now, Javon Solomon's kicking inside. Ed Oliver's out. When Michael Hoyt returns, I think he's going to be a guy that they move around, and it's going to allow other people to do different things. So I'm interested to see weeks down the road, okay, yep, how that looks and how that impacts some of the numbers and different things they're trying to do.
Yeah, we have a Twitter poll up about like your expectations, how things look on the defensive side through 3 weeks. And, you know, I feel like there were probably a lot of people that thought I'm going to have to wait 6 weeks to find out what it really looks like because two of their biggest pieces in free agency are out for 6 weeks. Then there's Hairston, and we'll see where he is in 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, Sal, as we're looking at blitz percentage and how the Bills are second in the NFL in blitz percentage, do you know where they are in pressure percentage? How often the quarterback gets hurried, knocked down, or sacked per dropback?
I do because I have it in front of me, but I'll let you say it.
Number one.
That's right.
Doesn't that sound nuts?
According to Pro Football Reference, 30.7% if we're looking at the same number.
Oh, look, let's all... What?
Right.
Sometimes it's hard to contextualize. It feels like they never get to the passer. They lead the league in pressure percentage.
I mean, this is a great example of what I just said a little while ago, right? It's a great example, Jeremy, which is, oh my God, we can never get pressure on the quarterback. They're actually, according to these numbers, and maybe this can be subjective in some way, the way people measure this, they're actually the best in the league at it.
Yeah.
You got to watch the rest of the league, folks.
But
right? That's the lesson here. You have to pay attention to the rest of the league. You can't just focus on your team and think because they don't make every play that they're not that good or they're not doing things right. You can't just watch Red Zone and every single time they go, let's go to this game, look at this highlight, look at this great catch, and think, why is my team not doing that? Well, they're showing you only the highlights of those games. And what you have to contextualize is the fact that every team in the league has a lot of different kind of areas they need to improve or things they're good on. And the Bills are actually really good at this when the rest of the league is not as good. And it might seem like that because all you see is them making plays.
Yeah. To this point, like, there's probably a comparison here to make, Sal, which is close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. Because someone out there saying, like, congratulations on your pressure rate. I need the quarterback on the ground. Because if I go to quarterback knockdown rate, now they're a little further down the board, middle of the pack. And if I go to sacks, you know, the league lead in sacks, the Broncos and the Rams have 12. The Bills only have 6, which is down the board a little bit. Now that, again, sack percentage would matter based on how many dropbacks and game script and all that. But the point is they are pressuring the passer, and they're maybe not getting there as much as they want to. That's what Bosa is here for. That's what hopefully Rousseau can get a little bit better at. And that's kind of the Michael Hoyt point you bring up. Like, let's see how he fits in. Because if he's a guy that helps them get to the finishing of the pressure, then that's a big deal. I'd also want to point out one last thing. Yeah, I'd also want to point out the quarterbacks you play are very, very big in this.
Yep.
Tua is not a guy that has often taken a lot of sacks. He had this year until this game. And then Lamar is a guy that also gets away quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll see. Work in progress. But there are signs that they are pressuring the passer.
Right. And I'd also want to point out pressure led directly to the game-sealing interception. Right? Like, it wasn't a sack.
Yep.
But that's pressure because, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if they got a pressure on it, right? But we know that Deion Walker was into his face. Walker was into his face, and it looked like he did graze the football. Like, that's pressure leading to a turnover. I think on one of the Joey Bosa fumbles against the Jets, it was not a sack, but they pressured him enough to have him run, and then they forced a fumble, right? So those things can matter. It's not perfect. You want to get more. Again, finish the play, finish the sack. It's not just, by the way, it's not just like the guys at the front four. I mean, what a great call by Bobby Babich on a blitz from Tre'Davious White, and Tre'Davious White takes a bad angle and doesn't get Tua down, right? Like, that's something where, man, they had that dialed up. They knew exactly what they wanted. Perfect call. Tre'Davious White is in position. All he has to do is settle his hips for a brief moment and go to the back shoulder of Tua, but instead he goes to the right shoulder. Right? The front shoulder, excuse me. And Tua spins away from it. It's kind of like the Sauce Gardner play against the Jets a couple weeks ago. Same thing. Right? And those are things where you got to finish those plays. You're in position to make that play.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline on the Buffalo Bills Football Monday.
Sal, this game coming up on Sunday, feel like they could stack some of these numbers against New Orleans. I don't know how much you saw of that game yesterday, but... It would have been easy to skip the second half because it was out of control or quick.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yes, I do think that. I mean, New Orleans they're not showing to be a very good football team. They hung with Arizona and they hung with San Francisco. Give them credit for that. They just got completely blown out immediately. There was no chance against Seattle. Did you guys see, like, one area I'd love to see the Bills take some advantage of? Yesterday was a really big special teams day in the NFL.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the Seahawks they had big plays on special teams against New Orleans. They had a big kick return return for a touchdown.
There was a block punt. I know.
A block punt. Like, these are when your roster isn't that good, your special teams suffer because that's the back end of your roster pretty much. Guys that are backups that are filling in. And I'd like to see the Bills have a better bounce back game because I don't think the Bills were that great on special teams this past week on Thursday night. So that would be nice. But yes, then offensively, you're facing a rookie quarterback. And Sean McDermott's numbers against rookie quarterbacks are very, very good. And that needs to continue this week against Spencer Rattler. Defense against the Saints defense. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be opportunity for the Buffalo Bills. So I just think this is a game where you just need to go out, do your business. It would be great. And I know, again, NFL, it doesn't have to happen like this. It'd be great if you get to the fourth quarter, the Bills have things in hand, and Josh Allen can put a baseball cap on and sit on the sidelines. I mean, that's what this season's about, getting through these games, staying healthy, maintaining your spot atop the division and the conference, and getting to the playoffs like that.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Game time temp for Sunday with the Saints right now, forecast is for sunny and 70.
I love it. I love it. It looks great. I mean, the same kind of weather we've been having here, and I know we had some baseball this weekend. It was just awesome to be out at the park, man.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Sal, thanks so much.
All right, I'll be on Extra Point Show at 10 a.m.
Beautiful. Oh, and by the way, big win for Syracuse, huh?
Hey, our guys should have opened with
beating
that.
Clemson.
Really, beating terrible, Clemson. Terrible, terrible injury, though, for Steve Angeli. Yeah. Man, I just feel so bad. Ricky Collins is a nice, you know, backup to have, transfer from LSU, but what a terrible, terrible injury. Yes, yes, I love it. I mean, this is what it looks like when you hire the right coach, right? Yep. It looks like they've hired the right coach. And, you know, I know that Clemson is a bit down and maybe not as good as everybody expected them to be, but that was a fun day. That was a fun day, Jeremy. It was a fun win. And, you know, just to watch it from the beginning and see the aggressiveness. I thought about you because they showed the tailgates and the parking lots.
Oh, I'm like,
man, it would have been nice for Jeremy to be at this game. You know what I mean?
I know.
It would have been nice for all of us to be at this game and see all that. And then the lightning delay was like, okay, I think, you know, a lot of the fans didn't come back in, so that kind of helped Syracuse in the second half as well.
Did you see the comments from Clemson quarterback Cade Klubnick on the game?
Oh, this guy.
Oh, I did.
Saw that.
Yes. Oh, what a sour grapes.
After the game, he said that the reason that the Clemson offense struggled. Props to them. They stopped us on third downs at certain times. Then, you know, they have an injury or something like that when we really got going. That's up to them if they want to be honest about that. Okay, buddy. My favorite thing of the weekend, my favorite moment of the weekend, Sal, was seeing that tweeted out from, like, the Clemson side of it and going in on the replies from all the Clemson fans saying, you're a loser. Like, you lost that game, and you're making that excuse, like, loser energy, and Dabo's a guy that whines, so of course his players are going to whine.
That's what I saw, too.
Yep, no accountability. Like, you know, good for Clemson.
You're taking your cues. And listen, I mean, Dabo deserves all the respect for all the winning he's done.
Yep.
Really, it's been amazing what he's done at Clemson. But he is a guy that whines and complains, and that's kind of taking the cue from your leader when you do things like that, right? So, yeah, for sure. It was a great win, for sure. Duke next week, I think so.
All right.
Keep it rolling.
Syracuse's path to the playoffs, Sal. Let's get it.
Syracuse-Duke. Yeah, I mean, we think about basketball, Jeremy. It's it's a big Syracuse football game against Duke next week.
And Duke just had a big win. They put up 44, beat NC State. All right, thanks, Sal.
You got it.
Sal Capaccio. Little chance to talk about Fran Brown's Syracuse. The backup quarterback went in and they started throwing the ball. They were aggressive after taking that big lead on Clemson. They kept at it. But yeah, Stephen Celi out for the year, of course. Like, that's not good news. All right. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Something you saw from the weekend, give us an observation. You had a nice weekend off of Bills football, stress-free, feed up Victory Monday here on WGR.
Fakes the handoff, throws in the right flat, complete to Shavers. Up the sideline, 20, and forced out of bounds at the 15-yard line by the nickel corner, Jason Marshall, who also pulls up lame. 15-yard gain.
Joshua Cardy has it blocked again! This time, Jordan Davis, the big man, looks for the icing on one big cake. Eagles hang on!
Pretty rough beat if you had, you know, like the Rams plus 3.5.
Pretty great if you had the other side,
though. That's true. So the Eagles stay unbeaten. The Rams would have stayed unbeaten. You're unbeaten after 3 weeks. Colts, Chargers, Bills, Bucks, Eagles, Niners. Let's have a little fun here. Who will be the last unbeaten team?
Okay.
Now, in week 4 schedule, Joe, a pair of these teams will meet. Eagles and Bucks. Someone takes their first loss.
Okay.
Who is it?
Where's that game?
Tampa.
Tampa has come very close in back-to-back games against teams that are not very good. So I'll go Philadelphia wins that game.
All right. The Eagles win. We'll eliminate the Bucks here. The Chargers play the Giants.
They'll win that game.
Okay. The Colts, 3-0, play at L.A. the Rams.
I think the Rams take the Colts out.
Okay. The Niners play Jacksonville at home.
Yeah, they'll win.
Okay. On to week 5. Howard picks the Bills tomorrow. This is Joe picks the unbeatens. On to week 5. So we're down to just, in that scenario, Eagles, Bills, and Niners.
Okay.
Bills have the Sunday night game, of course, against New England in their snow rivalry jerseys.
Yep.
Bills win?
Yep.
Okay. Chargers host the Commanders.
I wonder if Jaden Daniels is playing by then.
Did you already knock out the Chargers? No, I didn't. Yeah, that's right.
They're at home. I'll say they win.
Yeah, because they beat the Giants. I forgot to write them down. Okay, they win. Chargers win.
Yep.
Eagles home against the Broncos.
Yeah, they're at home. Yeah, Eagles win.
Okay, and the Niners are at the Rams on a short week.
I'll have the Rams taken out undefeated in back-to-back.
Wait a minute. There's something in that matchup. Don't the Niners always win? Isn't it the
Isn't it the other way around?
One of them always beats the other. Shanahan either always beats McVay or McVay always beats.
Let's see.
I think it's Shanahan has him.
So Shanahan won. It looks like he had won 7 in a row.
Okay. Until.
But since then, 4 for the Rams, 3 for the Niners.
Okay. So you're, but you're taking the Rams.
I'll take the Rams.
Okay. Chargers, Eagles, and Bills go to week 6 as the 3 unbeaten teams. All right.
Bills are off. No. One more and then they're off.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Week 7 bye.
Yes.
So Atlanta?
Yes.
They'll beat Atlanta. Penix. I wonder if Penix is playing. They're talking about, it was one game, but like it was so bad that Atlanta's talking about Cousins now. So
yikes.
Either way, I pick the Bills.
All right, you get the Bills. Chargers, Dolphins.
Chargers.
And Eagles, Giants.
Eagles.
Week 7. 3 unbeatens.
Okay.
Eagles at Vikings.
Did you see the report about McCarthy? He's not going to be back until week 7.
Okay.
So if he's playing, I like the Vikings defense. I'll pick the Vikings.
Vikings knocking the Eagles.
That'll be a low-scoring game.
Chargers.
Maybe a Carson Wentz revenge game.
Chargers hosting Colts.
Chargers win.
Okay. Week 8. The Bills and the Chargers, the only two unbeatens. Chargers host Minnesota.
I'll take Minnesota.
All right. Bills-Panthers. Bills are the last unbeaten.
Then the Bills will beat the Panthers.
I like how you just had Carson Wentz and or J.J. McCarthy knock off 2 unbeatens in a row.
I think their roster is awesome.
Their roster is very good.
And but I love the coach. I don't know that McCarthy goes back in right away. Like they might have.
His numbers are worst quarterback in the NFL numbers.
Yeah, like he might not have been that injured in the first place when they went to it. Like I guess maybe he is. Because where was the report? There's a report he's not coming back for like a month. And Wentz was fine yesterday. He didn't have to do a lot.
No, not at all. We'll get a call in here. Steven in Florida. Good morning, Steven. Welcome to Victory Monday. It's Buffalo Bills Football Monday here on WGR, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. On to the Saints this week. Steven, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I with the the game Thursday, it was really great to see Buffalo pull that out. People didn't even remember they did win by 10 points. Now, granted, the defense did struggle, and I think the big surprise in that game was Tua's mobility. The defense just could not get him down. They came close a few times, but here's the main thing I wanted to say. I'm looking at the rest of the Bills season, and after yesterday, now we're only 3 weeks in, but a number of the opponents that the Bills have on the schedule lost yesterday. The Bucs barely beat the Jets, So, you know, and now you got the Jets and the Dolphins fighting for who's going to get out of the basement of the AFC East first. But the thing I wanted to say is that this has been my concern looking at this schedule after the Bills beat the Ravens and that great comeback in week one. My biggest concern is this season. You know, KC struggled yesterday. They're struggling on offense. The defense is basically what's winning it for them. So my biggest concern is the Philadelphia Eagles. If the Bills beat the Eagles, I believe the Buffalo Bills will be the first team or the second team in NFL history to have a perfect season by going all the way and winning the Super Bowl. But the defense, they definitely got to make some adjustments and step up because, you know, going up against especially a team like the Eagles, they're not going to beat them if they don't do that. But I think Buffalo has the potential to do that this year and go all the way and finally bring home the Lombardi Trophy.
All right. Thanks, Steven. If the Bills are playing the Jets in the final game of the season with an undefeated record, they should definitely sit their starters, though. I mean, I don't know if we have to get that on September 22nd, but I'm going to go ahead and say, like, you sit your starters, every important player you have.
Yes.
Every important player you have. They all sit.
Yes. It would be tempting, though. It would be tempting.
I would not be tempted at all.
I'd be tempted to go be the best NFL team in history.
Congratulations. It cost you...
Like you want,
it cost you Terrell Bernard, Spencer Brown, and, someone's playing with a little bit of a, you know, he can play through an injury. No.
I bet you they would play him anyway.
They should,
not the whole game, but they've had a lot of games in the past where they have played into around halftime, right, when they had nothing to play for. And if you had the bye coming the next week, I guess they'd play a little bit. I don't think they played the whole game, but they'd play some. Go get the lead and get out?
No, just don't play.
They will, though.
Don't play. There's not, I mean, the case against it is maybe in a month we'll have a conversation, or 2 months we'll have a conversation. Maybe they'll just lose to Atlanta. Maybe they'll just lose to the Patriots. Who knows?
Right.
So we can, you know, dismiss this entire conversation eventually. But I'm on record today, and I will not move off this. I will not be convinced otherwise.
I think it's possible to convince me. I'm with you now, but I think it's possible to convince me.
Shane in New Jersey is up. Hey, Shane.
Hey, Jeremy. Thanks for taking my call. Was up in Buffalo for the game over the weekend. Elite weather. Wish I got through my clubs. I don't know. Maybe it's a little too hot for elite season.
We're getting there. It's a little warm.
It's not humid, though.
No, it's not. It's
That's
beautiful.
The other good thing about fall is if it is warm, there's no humidity.
Yeah, and it's also breezy in the morning. Yeah.
Yep.
It was beautiful. But, we bounced around. You know, shout out with Waylon. Had a great weekend.
Nice.
A couple of my things. One, I feel like the Bills kind of get a little stagnant in offense when they have the lead. And it's almost like McDermott going back to, like, I'm the defensive coach. We've got the lead. Like, let's just not blow this and let the offense or let the defense seal the game. And we don't have the defense to do that. And it's been not only with Dable and Dorsey and now Joe Brady, it just kind of in the middle of the game just kind of goes, you know, kaput. And then the other thing. I don't know the numbers on this, but it seems like McDermott was the one leading the charge for no tush push with the competition committee, and it doesn't seem like we were using it. There was a couple times Thursday night where I thought we could, you know, use the tush push to get a first down, and it just felt like they tried to do something cute and creative and be like, hey, Lee, look, you can do it another way.
Well, I thought they were good in that, though, were they not? Their short yardage package the last couple weeks I think has been effective, and I'm kind of encouraged to see them going to other things other than the tush push myself.
Yeah, like I was at the game, so it's harder to say. But yeah. You know, sometimes I'm just like, you know, get the first down, keep the chains moving, don't overthink it.
Yeah, thanks, Shane.
I'm watching. They did run the tush push against the Ravens on a 3rd and 1. They also ran it on 1st and goal at the 2. Cook was the guy behind them. They went left, though.
And they didn't get it. They got it on the 3rd, and they didn't push it.
Actually, it wasn't even really a sneak. Allen just called his own number and looked like went around the tackle.
Okay. And then but it was, they lined down, up like a on second push. Down, Cook got stuffed, and on 3rd down, he leaped over and reached over.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, they're kind of doing it. it looks like, in some of these spots. But is that because McDermott's doing it on purpose to make a point to the league? Like, I don't know. Competitively, you still want to win these games.
There's a good point here brought up in the chat by Jason. I mean, your quarterback, does he have a broken nose? Is your quarterback's wearing a visor? Maybe we don't smash him into the pileup while that's the issue.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know if he has a broken nose per se, but like, he's wearing a visor to protect from whatever he got, you know, smashed against the Jets. 803-0550, our phone number. Thanks, Shane, for the phone call.
They have not been in a situation where they've run it since the Raven game.
I have a fraught relationship with the Tush Push. One, I want it banned. I think it should go away,
yep.
Period. Two, I know the Bills have been pretty good at it. They're not as good as Philadelphia with it. Three, sometimes I like that they run it because it does work pretty well. But if they run it three times in the same game, I start to think, all right, what? You don't have any other ideas?
Right.
That's in the AFC Championship game. That's where I am. Like, again with this, this is the huge game.
I don't like when they run it on second and one.
Yeah, it's true too.
They did that a couple times last year, and yeah.
So I'm always conflicted with the Tush Push, just battling my own self.
I think in a year it's banned. This is it. Like, there was Diana Rossini wrote a story about this. Like, so one of the insiders, like, he's going to need Jeffrey Lurie's going to need more than just the Jason Kelce speech that he got at the last year's owner meetings to get it to hold up again.
Yeah, Schefter had a tweet this weekend that was kind of odd. That was, he wrote, "There's no guarantee." I got to find this tweet. It didn't even make sense to me to put out there as a story. "There's no guarantee they take up the Tush Push argument again this offseason."
Who? The Eagles?
The league.
Oh, the league.
The league won't. There's no guarantee there's even a vote this offseason, to which I thought, well, what's the opposite of that? There is a guarantee?
Yeah, there's no vote. There's no guarantee for new vote.
No, that's not the kind of thing that anybody guarantees. Who would guarantee it?
Yeah.
You need the competition committee to, what, they're going to come out in September and guarantee? Oh, I guarantee there's going to be a vote again. Because if you would say there, you'd guarantee there's a vote, why not vote now?
Right. Which, and if you were that close a year ago.
Right. It was a very odd, oh, okay, thanks for not guaranteeing what there'll be a vote on in May. Which, they could vote on it in March, table it till May. Who knows? There's definitely no guarantee it goes away, but a strange thing to say there's no guarantee they vote on it.
"A new proposal to ban the play would need a new author, more support, and more votes." One source told ESPN he did not know whether that could or would happen.
Right.
Right, like, what does that say?
That's not news.
Is that true, though, that, like, what, Green Bay can't propose it again? Is there a rule against that? Because if not, there were 22 teams that voted against it. Only you need one of them to say, hey, let's ban the Tush Push.
All right, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Butch, we'll get to your call. Wide open lines for you. You got something you saw from this weekend? Has you thinking about the Bills? Where they land in the NFL hierarchy? It's near the top, if not at the top. Jeremy and Joe here on a Victory Monday, Buffalo Bills Football Monday. You can join us here on WGR.
I think each week of the season, I think I know each week of the season our defense has gotten better. That's a very strong offensive opponent that we faced last night. To your point, the first and second down defense was, I thought, the best we've played for the most part, I would say, over the last, you know, however many games. They're a tough unit to stop. The third downs, however, in the red zone, we just went through third down as a defensive staff, and, you know, just not enough of things working together.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott, locker room audio brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. We'll go around the league, brought to you by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for over 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. Shop Dash's Market. Tonight, it's the Ravens and the Lions. One of these teams will drop to 1-2.
Yep. And if it's Baltimore, that'll be a 3-game lead. If by all accounts, for the one seed on them specifically for the Bills.
Yeah, if it's Baltimore, people in Pittsburgh might convince themselves their team is good.
They'll be in first place in the division.
Yes. Here's your funny stat. The Bengals and the Steelers are 2-1, and each have a negative point differential.
Wow.
Cincinnati's a minus 33. Of course, they got hammered yesterday. Pittsburgh's a minus 5 at 2-1. And their offense looks brutal.
Yeah,
with Rodgers.
They can't run the ball at all, and it's just it looks like what Rodgers' offenses have looked for the last 2 years.
Yep.
3 years. Just ball out quick, and he's throwing fade contested balls. And sometimes they work. Like when he throws a touchdown to Calvin Austin, it looks awesome. But what is that? It's a contested ball to a small receiver.
The two divisions that look the most over right now are
AFC East.
AFC East and NFC South. Bucks 3-0.
Yeah.
Panthers, Falcons 1-2. Bucks.
Yeah.
Bucks are 3-0 with a point differential of plus 6.
Yeah, everything's been really close.
Really close.
Two game-winning drives at the end of games. Mayfield is really like he has gotten so much better, or maybe just noticing it more now. You can't bring him down in the pocket. Like he made a juke move on a guy in the pocket yesterday. You would have thought it was Lamar Jackson, and then he scrambled for like 12 yards.
Baker is what people think Kyler Murray is.
Yes. Like, 100%.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray. Did you watch any of that game?
I did not.
That guy can't be my quarterback anymore. Just it doesn't happen.
The only thing
it
I saw doesn't from that, work from like, that game was a big Marvin Harrison Jr. drop.
There was a big one of those, but that quarterback, like just body language and I don't know, like there are so many mistakes that offense makes. I would be done with him.
803-0550. Wide open phone lines for you. We're going to check in maybe with Paul Hamilton as well. Reach out to him about tonight's Sabres preseason opener with the Columbus Blue Jackets. Sabres play four times between now and the Bills game against the Saints. So we'll have plenty to dig into with that, I'm sure. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.